Good morning and welcome to today's edition of Times the Brief, brought to you by Spoken Layer. I'm Harvey Kojan, and these are the top stories of the day.
Donald Trump's Asia trip presents a crucial international test. By Jonathan Lemire, AP. Honolulu. On his most grueling and consequential trip abroad, President Donald Trump stands ready to exhort Asian allies and rivals on the need to counter the dangers posed by North Korea's nuclear threat. The 12-day, five-country trip, the longest Far East itinerary for a president in a generation, comes at a precarious moment for Trump. Just days ago, his former campaign chairman was indicted and another advisor pleaded guilty as part of an investigation into possible collusion between his 2016 campaign and Russian officials. With Trump set to arrive Sunday in Japan, the trip presents a crucial international test for a president looking to reassure Asian allies worried that his inward-looking America First agenda could cede power in the region to China. They also are rattled by his bellicose rhetoric about North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The North's growing missile arsenal threatens the capitals Trump will visit. The trip comes, I would argue, at a very inopportune time for the president. He is under growing domestic vulnerabilities that we all know about, hour to hour, said Jonathan Pollack, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute in Washington. The conjunction of those issues leads to the palpable sense of unease about the potential crisis in Korea. Trump's spontaneous and at times reckless style flies in the face of the generations-old traditions and protocol that govern diplomatic exchanges in Asia. The grand receptions expected for him in Tokyo, Seoul, Beijing, and beyond are sure to be lavish attempts to impress the president, who raved about the extravagances shown him on earlier visits to Saudi Arabia and France. The trip will also put Trump in face-to-face meetings with authoritarian leaders for whom he has expressed admiration. They include China's Xi Jinping, whom Trump has likened to a king, and the Philippines' Rodrigo Duterte, who has sanctioned the extrajudicial killings of drug dealers. Trump may also have the chance for a second private audience with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the sidelines of a summit in Vietnam. The White House is signaling that Trump will push American economic interests in the region, but the North Korean threat is expected to dominate the trip. One of Trump's two major speeches will come before the National Assembly in Seoul. Fiery threats against the North could resonate differently than they do from the distance of Washington. Trump will forego a trip to the demilitarized zone, the stark border between North and South Korea. All U.S. presidents except one since Ronald Reagan have visited the DMZ in a sign of solidarity with Seoul. The White House contends that Trump's commitment to South Korea is already crystal clear, as evidenced by his war of words with Kim and his threats to deliver fire and fury to North Korea if it does not stop threatening American allies. The escalation of rhetoric, a departure from the conduct of past presidents, has undermined confidence in the U.S. as a stabilizing presence in Asia. There's a danger if there is a lot of muscle flexing, said Mike Chinoy, a senior fellow at the U.S.-China Institute at the University of Southern California. Trump has been going right up to the edge, and I wouldn't rule out some sort of forceful North Korean reaction to Trump's presence in the region, he said. The White House said Trump would be undeterred. The president will use whatever language he wants to use, obviously. That's been of great reassurance to our allies, partners, and others in the region who are literally under the gun of this regime, White House National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster said Thursday. I don't think the president really modulates his language, have you noticed? At each stop, Trump will urge his hosts to squeeze North Korea by stopping trading with the North and sending home North Korean citizens working abroad. That includes China, which competes with the U.S. for influence in the region and provides much of North Korea's economic lifeblood. The White House is banking on the close relationships Trump has established with some Asian leaders to help make his demands more palatable. Officials acknowledge that Trump does not yet have a feel for Moon Jae-in, South Korea's newly elected liberal president. But Trump has demonstrated cordial relations with Xi and struck up a friendship with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, with whom he planned to golf on Sunday. While Xi and Abe have recently tightened their control on power, Trump arrives weakened by low poll numbers, a stalled domestic agenda, and the swirling Russia probe. Many in the Asian capitals will view Trump warily. His early withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership demolished the Obama administration's effort to boost trade with some of the world's fastest-growing economies and sustain America's post-World War II strategic commitment to Asia. Trump is expected to outline his economic vision for the region, which includes a preference for one-to-one relationships over multinational agreements, during a speech at a summit in Vietnam. He is not expected to offer any concrete economic policy changes while in Asia, though some new contracts for American businesses may be announced. His administration's eager embrace of a deeper strategic partnership with India and other democracies across the Pacific risks alienating China and Pakistan. The White House did, at the last minute, extend the trip for an extra day so Trump could attend the East Asia Summit in the Philippines. At the same time, Trump can point to some early successes in Asia. He won Beijing's support for the toughest international sanctions yet on North Korea. Tensions in the disputed South China Sea that escalated as China conducted a massive land reclamation effort on Obama's watch have ebbed. Long-standing U.S. alliances with Thailand and the Philippines have been repaired by engaging their authoritarian leaders and sidelining human rights concerns, though the White House suggested Trump may chide Duterte privately. How much does it help to yell about these problems, McMaster said. The White House hopes the trip could offer a chance at a reset as a tumultuous first year in office winds down. Trump's advisors see it as an opportunity for the president to forcefully assert U.S. pledges to its allies and deliver a fierce warning directly to North Korea's Kim, whom he has belittled as Little Rocket Man. Trump's trip will be the longest Asia visit for any U.S. president since George H.W. Bush went there in 1992, when he fell ill during a state dinner with Japan's prime minister. Before he left Hawaii, Trump had his motorcade stop at the Trump International Hotel, Waikiki, because, as White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders put it, the president wanted to say hello and thank you to the employees for all their hard work. Trump didn't stay at the hotel during his one night in Hawaii.
Stranger Things finally gives us answers to those 10 pressing questions by Ashley Hoffman, November 2, 2017. Warning, this post includes spoilers for Stranger Things. Yeesh. Stranger Things Season 2 answered several urgent questions. At the end of Season 1, fans wanted to know Eleven's whereabouts and where the other Hawkins lab kids were. And did Will bring some wild things back with him from the upside down? What other bad stuff is lurking around down there? Most importantly, how did Steve get his hair to do that? Just like the Hawkins middle school science teacher you wish you had, Season 2 served up plenty of helpful explanations. Fans thankfully learned a lot more about the show with the coolest supermarket exit ever after it dropped on Friday. Here are 10 revelations from Stranger Things Season 2. Number 1. The Demigorgon's not the only monster in town. Good old Flower Face really had us upset in Season 1, but its countless children unleashed more havoc in Season 2. The Demodogs killed our superhero martyr Bob, Sean Astin, as well as numerous Hawkins lab workers with a major assist from Will, Noah Schnapp. Another thing, we know how Demigorgons grow. Quickly. They also enjoy long runs through tunnels, connecting the lab to other areas, deli meats, three musketeers, oh, and destroying human and animal life. Oddly enough, they can bond with humans, as Dart and Dustin, Gatton Matarazzo, proved. Number 2. Terry Ives is definitely Eleven's mother. When Eleven, Millie Bobby Brown, accesses Terry's, Amy Mullins, recollection of her labor via that blacked-out space, the trippy flashback reveals that Terry did give birth to a crying Eleven, a.k.a. Jane. Hawkins' lab took her from Terry, possibly for experiments and to weaponize her against Russia. Terry tried to rescue Eleven out of the lab, but that's when Dr. Brenner, Matthew Modine, gave her some form of electroshock therapy that likely caused her current damaged state. as her sister is shocked to learn Terry's not crazy. This really happened. Further evidence, Dr. Owens, Paul Reiser, also appears to produce the receipts in the form of a birth certificate for Hopper, David Harbour, and a new name, Jane Hopper. Number 3. Yes, there are others. In Season 1, Eleven was identified by the number given to her by Dr. Brenner, begging the question, who were the others? We meet one, Callie, Linnea Berthelsen, a.k.a. 8, who Eleven finds living out her best life with her squad. Her power is that she can make people see or not see anything, which is convenient when you're on a revenge mission. On the positive side, she can also whip up a butterfly illusion on loan from the OA, like it's nothing. This sets up a future where we'll likely meet the other victims of Dr. Brenner. Number 4. The kids have families. Look, Dustin has a mom he has a hilarious time with. Look, Lucas, Caleb McLaughlin, has a mom, a dad who knows his place, and a precocious sister, Erica, Priya Ferguson, who should not be trusted with crucial communication devices. Back in Season 1, we did see the kids' relatives at Will's premature funeral, but Season 2 delved so much deeper into the home life dimension. Sure, the mission to find Will got most of the on-screen attention in Season 1, but we learn Nancy, Natalie Dyer, wasn't the only one aware that Barb, Shannon Purser, existed. This season proves that Barb's parents cared, still care, and even sold their house to pay a disgraced journalist, Murray, Brett Gelman, to keep hope alive in the form of a conspiracy-laden, but not totally off, investigation. Number 5. Yes, that's a real monster. It's not some type of PTSD vision, a possibility creators Matt and Ross Duffer hinted at previously. It's real. It sent its offspring to kill the lab workers. It invaded Will's body and controlled his mind. It lurked ominously around the snowball in the Upside Down. Worst of all, it messed with the pumpkins during peak pumpkin season. The tunnels likely poisoned the farmland. This list goes on with this repeat offender. Dustin drew a parallel with it and the Mind Flayer from Dungeons & Dragons, and Dustin always knew what he was talking about, even when it came to D'Artagnan. Now fans know more about what we're dealing with. Number 6. Eleven has the power to close the gate, and it helps if she's pissed. Eleven is back and tougher than ever. For a while there, people were worried she died, sacrificing herself to the Demigorgon in the Season 1 finale. But in Season 2, she proves she's still a powerhouse who can channel her energy and her rage to close the gate with her mind. As though that weren't sufficiently impressive, she also debuts 3 completely new looks: Rustic Cabin 11, Punk 11, and Romantic 11. Number 7. Hopper is officially cooperating with Hawkins' lab. Fans wondered what the extent of Hopper's government involvement would be, and we have our answer for the most part. Hopper was able to cut a deal to rescue Will in exchange for everyone's silence in Season 1. In Season 2, Jim, all out of screws to give Hopper, was reporting to Dr. Owens and covering up the craziness. In Season 1, we learned he rescued Eleven from the woods sometime around December 10, 1983, based on Eleven's calculations. When things get really nuts, he quickly reteams with Joyce and the kids to save the town. Hopper's a tricky one, but it seems like he's on the good side for now. Number 8. Will's definitely not okay. Was Will saved? Not completely. Will survived, but not unscathed. The destructive monster invaded his body as its new host so it could use the poor kid to spy on everyone. This new host-guest arrangement resulted in a high death count around town. Another thing, it also tragically ruined what should have been a relaxing bath time. Mrs. Wheeler, Cara Bono, more than made up for this in the finale. Number 9. Steve's hair is not naturally like that. King Steve, Joe Carey, revealed his top-secret beauty must-haves to Dustin, who followed suit for the snowball. Number 10. Yes, Nancy ended up with Jonathan. Nice guys don't always finish last, unless you're Bob. Thanks to a push from the relationship counselor Indiana needed, Murray Bauman, Brett Gelman, Nancy and Jonathan, Charlie Heaton, realize they want to be with each other and spend the night together at Bauman's house. It would appear that Nancy's thing with Steve is over. This season should lead to another sobering revelation for both Steve and Dustin. A few puffs of hairspray can only take a man so far in life.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Harvey Kojan, and you've been listening to the daily edition of Times the Brief. To get this sent to your inbox every morning, go to time.com/thebrief. You can also subscribe through iTunes or your favorite podcast app. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, enjoy the day.